This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
As Pastor Kanda said, God gave me this word. I was asked to speak to some pastors' wives. Well, really, she's been trying to get me to speak for a year. But in May, I told her yes. And we set a date. And literally the next day in prayer, God gave me this word. And so I was excited about it, told Pastor. And then he asked me to share it. So I'm going to share it with y'all as well. I don't think it can hurt to have too many people hear it. But I want to speak about influencers. And I'm sure by today, we've all heard the word influencer. If you're on social media of any sort, you've definitely heard the word influencer. And it's thrown around a lot recently, but what does it actually mean? So the definition of an influencer is an individual with a following who can sway their audience's opinions, behaviors, and purchasing decisions. Have any of you been influenced to buy something, whether by an ad or someone telling you about it? I'm sure most of us have. I know just back in April, I was scrolling on TikTok one day, which sometimes I do, and I don't think TikTok is bad. I think it depends on what you look at. I'll leave that there. But I was watching, and this lady showed up. I don't follow her. I don't know who she was. But she was talking about this tea brewer for loose leaf tea. And of course, she had her link so she can get commission from it. I love tea, especially loose leaf tea and flavored teas. So I started looking at it. I found the brand, and I went to Amazon. Because I'll be honest, if Amazon has it, I'm buying it there before TikTok. A lot of the TikTok stuff comes from across seas, and I like to know where it comes from. And I do have an Amazon card, so I just do it there. But I did look at the reviews. I looked at the cost differences. And looked at some tea sample packs, if I would actually use it. And the draw to it was you put the leaves in, and then you hit a button, and it brews right into the cup. So it's just a one stop. So I told Pastor about it, told Rebecca about it, and that was what I want for Mother's Day. And I'll be honest, they followed through, they bought it. And so I actually use it a lot. Becca and I use it a lot. Just last week, she asked me, can I have tea? And so I made her tea. I even bring it to work, and I use it at work. Because it's very easy to brew in the cup. So I was influenced. And that was a good for me. It was a good influence, a good purchase. But not all influences are positive. I'm sure we've all bought something that we thought, I didn't really need this. Or it didn't work the way we were told it would work. So it doesn't always be a positive, but that one was. So what makes an influencer successful? In all actuality, all it takes to be an influencer is to have an influence in enough people's lives that they listen. So influence, that's all it takes. The definition of influence is the power or capacity to indirectly affect someone's character, development, or behavior without using direct force or command. It is the subtle ability to shape decisions, opinions, or outcomes, whether through persuasion or example. So who should have influence? Truthfully, every person and every believer should have influence. And the first thing I will look at with influence is our life is always speaking. So whether in our family, the workplace, school, church, or our community, someone is watching our words, our attitudes, and our actions. Influence is not determined by our position, but by the way we live our life. Our actions and attitudes will speak louder than our words will. And I've heard it said, your life may be the only Bible some people read. So once people, especially non-believers, hear we are a Christian, they do begin to watch and see how we live our lives. And I know I've seen that in the workplace. People act a certain way, and then when they find out that I'm a believer or that I'm a pastor's wife, they change how they act. But they also then begin to watch how I act to see what's different. And they watch how we treat others around us, how we respond when we get upset or stressed. And that's just to name a few areas, because I know how we respond when we're stressed says a lot. After watching, then they decide if they want to listen to us and what we have to say. And that's why it's important to understand that our influence begins with the way we live daily, not just in front of people, but every day. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect, because none of us are. I know for sure I'm not. But even when we have a bad day or we mess up, how we respond to that is also an example of Christ working in our lives as well. And God calls all believers to be people whose lives point others towards him. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So that last part is really the important part, is we should have the goal that our lives will glorify, will lead others to closer to God, because the way we live glorifies him. We see an example of this with Naomi and Ruth in Ruth 1. We find Naomi has lost her husband and sons and is returning home. She tells both her daughters-in-law to return back to their home. But verse 16 says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.'" Ruth had watched Naomi's life and even done some life with her, and it caused her to have a strong loyalty and dedication to her. So Ruth grew up where they worshiped pagan gods, but because of Naomi's influence in her life, she chose to stay and make the God of Israel her God. So we never see that Naomi preached at Ruth or condemned her for her faith. But in fact, we just see Naomi loved her, but also told her to go back home. But because of the life Naomi lived in front of her and how she treated the girls, Ruth stayed and served God. What an influence. And this is why we should strive to live lives that point others towards God. So if they don't know him, they would want to know him. The second thing is influence begins with character. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So character is the foundation of influence. It's not position, titles, or popularity that gives influence. It is shaped in everyday decisions, and even decisions made when nobody is looking. A life of godly character will give credibility to our words. Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely." So I want to look at Esther for a minute. I'm sure most probably know her story, but we'll go ahead and recap. Esther was a Jewish girl whose parents died when she was young. So she was raised in her cousin Mordecai's house in Persia. Not knowing she was Jewish, she was chosen to become the new queen. Fast forward, and one of the king's officials had plotted against Mordecai and the Jews and convinced the king to make a decree to kill all Jews because they did not bow to the king. At this time, Mordecai asks Esther to go to the king and save the Jews. But it's important here to know the rules of that time. Back in that time, even the queen could not approach the king without an invitation from him. So Mordecai was asking Esther to go before the king without invitation, which ultimately could have resulted in her death. But Mordecai encouraged her and told her that God called her for such a time as this. So Esther, having great character and being obedient to God, went to the king on behalf of the Jews. And the king listened to her, resulting in the death of the official that had made the plot and ultimately the salvation of the Jews. So a whole people group were saved because Esther stayed true to her character and her integrity. And so this influence is twofold. First, you have Mordecai's influence that prepared Esther to hold true to her character and go before the king. And then you have her influence that got the king to save Esther and her people. So positive influence begins with character, but without character, that influence is not always a positive experience, because character can be good or bad. I know a lot of times we think influence comes from being admired or having a platform. I know for me, I often think it's those that have talent. And Pastor can tell you, I've often said that there's other people more talented or I don't have a gift. And that's where we think a lot of times that influence comes from. But in reality, most people will admire and chase a person of integrity and good character. We see this with a lot of celebrities and people with titles who have started strong. They had talent, but because of their character or even in moments of lapse in their integrity, they lost that influence. A couple of those that came to mind for me pretty quickly was Jennifer Lopez. She was a talented singer. People even talked about how well she treated people. Even on sets of the movie she's been in, people liked working with her because she treated people well. But in 2020, she did the Super Bowl halftime show, and she was very provocatively dancing and had her daughter on the stage with her. And because of that, a lot of people lost their view of her. A lot of people haven't wanted to work with her since. She hasn't really been in movies since because she lost her following. And then there's also Lance Armstrong, who is a title-winning cyclist. But he was found to have used performance-enhancing drugs and led a massive team doping system. And when he did and it was found out, he lost 7 Tour de France titles and has received a lifetime ban from sports. And he's talented, he was, but because of his lapse in character and his not sticking to his integrity, he lost all of it. And just like these two, a lot of people start off strong, but we lose sight of who we're trying to be or want to be, and that can cause us to lose our influence as well. And this often happens due to bad influences that we allow to influence our own lives. Who we allow to have access to us and to our time will slowly shape us. It's been said, show me your 5 closest friends and I'll show you your future. And in reality, that is true. We do begin to act like those that we spend the most time with. The people that we surround ourselves with affect our thinking, our choices, and ultimately our future. Now, I'm not saying to cut all ties with non-believers, because how can you minister and influence someone that you cut all ties with? But we do have to be careful how much time we are allowing them in our lives and how we allow them to influence us. I know I personally have had friends or family that changed as they hang out with different people. And if I'm being real today, I've had to limit time with certain people in my life in order to stay true to who I am and who I want to be. And the scripture says it this way, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So if we want to keep our integrity and hold on to good character, sometimes that means being careful of who and what we allow to influence us. Sometimes we have great intentions, but we slowly allow things into our lives that can weaken our testimony or even lead us astray. Judas was a great example of this. Judas started out as one of the 12 disciples and spent his days with Jesus. He was the treasurer and in charge of the money. The book of John mentions after some time, Judas began to take from the bag for himself. This choice led him to eventually selling Jesus to the Sanhedrin. And some scholars believe that Jesus betrayed Jesus because he was looking for earthly wealth and political ambition through a title and status. So he started out strong, but he allowed ambition to corrupt his character. And this is why it's important to take steps to live a life of integrity and more moral character so we don't fall and look for ambitions and things that will lead us astray. The third thing I want to look at is influence can change generations. I'm sure we are all where we are today because of someone who had an influence in our lives. Whether parents, grandparents, friends, Christian connections, or someone else, every person leaves a legacy. The question is, what will the legacy be, and in what way will it influence others? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. One encouraging word, one act of faithfulness, or one moment pouring into another person's life can impact not just that individual, but generations to come. Spiritual growth often happens in relationships. God uses mentors, friends, pastors, parents, and fellow believers to shape our character. And I know I've had people in my life that have been influential. I'm in my spiritual walk. I had some in Dumas growing up that when I had strayed, prayed for me. And when they saw me, it was the way they talked to me and the love they showed me, even knowing how I was living, that made me want to come back to Christ. And then in my early Christian life, I had her name, I call her Mama Lou. Her name's Lou. But she was very instrumental in listening to me and praying over me, and even just would send me encouraging scriptures or words. And so it does really come from those relationships. And all who come into relationship with Christ come from someone telling them the word. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" So sometimes all it takes is that one person being obedient to share the gospel with someone that will share generations. So I want to share a story this morning. It's called A Nobody Named Kimball. Edward Kimball was concerned about one of his young Sunday school students who worked at a shoe store in town. One day, Kimball visited him at the store, found the student working in the back and stocking shelves, and led him to Christ then and there. Dwight L. Moody eventually left the shoe store to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of all time. Moody, whose international speaking took him to the British Isles, preached in a little chapel pastored by a young man with the imposing name of Frederick Brotherton Meyer. In his sermon, Moody told an emotionally charged story about a Sunday school teacher who personally went to every student in his class and led each of them to Christ. That message changed Pastor Meyer's ministry, inspiring him to become an evangelist like Moody. Over the years, Meyer came to America. While speaking in Northfield, Massachusetts, a young preacher heard Meyer say, "If you are not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" That remark led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to the call of God on his life. Chapman went on to become one of the most effective evangelists of his time. A volunteer by the name of Billy Sunday helped set up his crusades and learned how to preach by watching Chapman. Sunday eventually took over Chapman's ministry, becoming one of the most dynamic evangelists of this century. Billy Sunday's preaching brought thousands to Christ. Inspired by a 1924 Billy Sunday crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of Christians dedicated themselves to reaching their city for Christ. The group invited the evangelist Mordecai Ham to come and hold a series of evangelistic meetings in 1932. A lanky 16-year-old sat in the huge crowd one evening, spellbound by the message the white-haired preacher gave. Each evening, the preacher seemed to be shouting and waving his finger at the young man. Night after night, the teen came and finally went forward to give his life to Christ. That teenager was Billy Graham. Billy Graham has communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in history. And it all started with a Sunday school teacher named Kimball. Millions have been affected by his decision to go into a shoe store and share Christ with one person. Millions more will continue to feel this impact. So this kind of influence has a ripple effect. And we may never know the full impact our obedience can make, but when we are obedient and we pour into those, it does have a ripple effect and can affect generations. Another great example is found in the New Testament. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, and I'm not going to read the whole story, I'm just going to paraphrase it for y'all. When he was on the road to Damascus, he was on his way to arrest and persecute believers. It was on that road that he encountered Jesus and became a follower himself. He began to use his Roman name, Paul. Acts 9:31 tells us when he went to Jerusalem to speak to the disciples, they were all afraid of him and did not believe he was a follower of Christ. And I mean, if we're honest, I probably would have been afraid too, and I don't know if I would have wanted to listen knowing that he was persecuting believers. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and vouched for him, telling them about how he had seen the Lord. After that, Paul preached boldly and fearlessly. Verse 31 says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." So Barnabas influenced Paul through introduction and mentorship. Fast forward a few chapters to Acts 16, and we find Paul meeting Timothy. Now, Timothy's mother was Jewish and a believer, but his dad was Greek. Paul took Timothy on his missionary journey with him and taught him and mentored him. They traveled and visited churches together, ministering to them. And Acts 16:5 says the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. And this is how we should all be in the body of Christ. It goes generations. Barnabas took Paul, Paul took Timothy, and the churches grew. And that's how it is when we do the same. A current story I want to tell about, it's actually been kind of exciting. It's called Million Dollar Miracle. So John Murdoch, he's a pastor. He was our district youth director for many years. I actually went to camps under him. And he's always had a heart for the camp. Even now, Nick Rogers is the DYD and been running the camp, but John still has an impact. And people that John impacted now still serve at the church or bring their kids to the camp. So it's just gone on. But the camp has needed some funds, and, you know, it's expensive for upkeep and when you want to keep it going. So a couple months ago, John Murdoch in prayer had a vision to 1,000 people give $1,000. And he just threw it out there. He told God, you know, you can do it. So he threw it out there. People have money's come in. They've bought new fans for the camp. And then this week, Anna Rogers, which is Nick Rogers' daughter, she had the same, she's been influenced, she had the same vision. So she got up and she believed from God that they could raise $1,000 on the last day of camp from the campers and camp crew. So she got up and explained her vision, the impact the camp has had on her, and they did raise that $1,000. By the money the campers had left over. So that is one of those that, because of one person, it just keeps flowing down to the next generation, to the next generation. There's still lives being impacted by kids out at Roaring Springs Camp. Our own daughter has been there and had many powerful, impactful services. So we should all allow people to influence us into our lives, and in turn, we should be for those that we can pour into as well. This can look like parents shaping children, teachers shaping students, church members encouraging new believers, friends holding one another accountable, and co-workers discussing faith. We may never preach to the thousands, but we can disciple one person who in turn can impact many. I want to talk about practical ways we can influence others. The first is to spend time with God daily. And I didn't write this down. John 15, 5 through 8 says, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. So if we're to point others to Christ, we have to know him and abide with him. It is Christ in us that will draw others into relationship with him. And we can't offer other people what we don't have. So we have to have Christ in order to offer Christ to others. The second thing is to study the word. It is not just enough to read the scriptures when we need encouragement or direction, but we must study the word. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. The Lord instructs us through his word so that we may have wisdom and know how to live in relationship with him and others. Luke 12:12 tells us that the word is used to teach us what we should say when we need it. And Colossians 1:28 says it is used to make disciples and teach the truths of Christ. In order to teach those around us, we have to know what we are teaching. And if we have any teachers in the room, we know that is true. You cannot teach a student a subject you don't know. Just like jobs require training and understanding, teaching the word and about Christ to others requires us to know Christ. The next is to serve without expecting recognition. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Serving God without expecting earthly rewards or titles will help us hold to our integrity and not be sidetracked like Judas was. This time of serving points others back to Christ. Jesus was our ultimate example of this. When he was on earth, he served. He lived a life of servanthood. And the next is to lead by example. Since our life is watched and sometimes our greatest witness, we must let our life be an example to others. 1 Timothy 4:12-16. I was going to read that one. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by the prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So as we see, we are called to be an example and regularly immerse ourselves in the things of God so that we can stay faithful and so that those around us can hear the word and be saved. And then we are to share our faith with love and courage. While our lives and actions are watched, we do have to share with others as well. And as we just saw in 1 Timothy, it says to devote ourselves to reading scripture and to teaching. So we can't teach without words. Our actions are just what opens the door to allow us to speak to others, but we do still have to speak. Scripture tells us that one must hear to know the gospel, so we have to share with those around us. Sometimes that sharing of faith is just telling how God worked in our life during a difficult situation. While it is important we share our faith and tell others about Christ so they may have faith, we must approach one another in love, not with judgment or condemnation. And I know we've experienced, we have to share the word, we do. But it's also in how we do it. If you just come up to someone and tell them they're going to hell, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. So we have to do it in love. And we've seen people, I'm sure we all know someone that maybe has a hard time believing or maybe got hurt in the church. And so they're kind of harder to reach sometimes. And it's because of how they were treated. So we have to do it in love and in Christ's love. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." And I'm going to be honest, we do have to know the word. When I worked in Amarillo at surgery center, I call her boss friend. She was my boss. After a couple years, she watched me for a while. She's one of those that had some church hurt and had also grown up in different beliefs. And so she didn't know what was truth. And so after some time of watching me, she began to ask questions. And I'll be honest, I didn't always know where it was. Like, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, 4:11. But I could tell her what it said, and we could go to it and find it. So you don't let that deter you. Used to, I would be nervous to answer questions because I didn't always know the address of it. But if you know what it says, that's the important part. We can go find where it is. So don't let that deter you from answering people's questions or telling people what the word says. So as I close, I want to challenge us with a few questions. First, does my influence bring glory to God? Because remember, there are negative and positive influence. And so if we want to be a positive influence, we have to let our lives bring glory to God. The second, who am I allowing to influence my life? Because remember, those five people we spend the most time with, that is going to be our core influence. But also, are we allowing that one person to encourage us regularly? And third, whose life can I influence and pour into? Because if we are going to change generations, we also have to in turn be pouring into others. And so I want to encourage that we are trying to find those that we can encourage as well, whether it's in our family, in the workplace, but we should be poured into and also pouring into others.